young and noble gentleman, the county Paris at St. Peter's Church, shall happily make thee there a joyful bride.
Now by St. Peter's Church and Peter too, he shall not make me there a joyful bride. I wonder at this haste that I must wed ere he that should be husband comes to woo. I pray you tell my lord and father, madam, I will not marry yet. And when I do, I swear it shall be Romeo, whom you know I hate, rather than Paris. These are news indeed.
Here comes your father. Tell him so yourself, and see how he will take it at your hands.
When the sun sets, the earth doth drizzle dew. But for the sunset of my brother's son, it rains downright. How now, a conduit, girl? Why, still in tears. Evermore showering. In one little body thou counterfeit'st a bark, a sea, a wind. For still thy eyes, which I may call the sea, do ebb and flow with tears. The bark thy body is, sailing in this salt flood. The winds thy sighs, who, raging with thy tears, and they with them, without a sudden calm, will overset thy tempest-tossed body. How now, wife? Have you delivered to her our decree?
Aye, sir, but she will none. She gives you thanks. I would the fool were married to her grave.
Soft. Take me with you. Take me with you, wife. How will she none? Doth she not give us thanks? Is she not proud? Doth she not count her blessed, unworthy as she is, that we have wrought so worthy a gentleman to be her bride?
Not proud you have, but thankful that you have. Proud can I never be of what I hate, but thankful even for hate that is meant love.
How? Chopped logic, what is this? Proud, and I thank you, and I thank you not, and yet not proud? Mistress Minion, you, thank me no thankings, nor proud me no prouds, but fettle your fine joints against Thursday next to go with Paris to St. Peter's Church, or I will drag thee on a hurdle thither. Out, you green sickness carrion! Out, you baggage, you tallow face!
Fie, what are you, mad?
Good father, I beseech you on my knees, hear me with patience, but to speak a word!
Hang thee, young baggage! Disobedient wretch! I tell thee what, get thee to church a Thursday, or never after look me in the face. Speak not, reply not, do not answer me. Oh, my fingers itch. Wife, we scarce thought us blessed that God had lent us but this only child, but now I see this one is one too much, and that we have a curse in having her. Out on her, Hilding!
God in heaven bless her! You are to blame, my lord, to rate her so!
And why? My lady Wisdom, hold your tongue! Good prudence matter with your gossips, go!
I speak no treason!
Oh, God, again!
May not one speak!
Peace, you mumbling fool! Utter your gravity or a gossip's bowl, for here we need it not!
You are too hot!
God's bread! It makes me mad! Day, night, hour, tide, time, work, play, alone, in company, still my care hath been to have her matched. And having now provided a gentleman of noble parentage, of fair demesnes, youthful and nobly lined, stuffed, as they say, with honorable parts, proportioned as one's thought would wish a man, and then to have a wretched, puling fool, a whining mammet, in her fortune's tender to answer, I'll not wed, I cannot love, I am too young, I pray you pardon me. But if you will not wed, I'll pardon you. Graze where you will, you shall not house with me. Look to it. Think on't. I do not use to jest. Thursday is near. Lay hand on heart. Advise. And you be mine. I'll give you to my friend, and you be not. Hang. Beg. Starve. Die in the streets, for by my soul I'll ne'er acknowledge thee. Nor what is mine shall never do thee good. Trust to it. Bethink you, I'll not be forsworn.
Is there no pity sitting in the clouds that sees into the bottom of my grief? Oh, sweet my mother, cast me not away. Delay this marriage for a month, a week. Or if you do not, make the bridal bed in that dim monument where Tybalt lies.
Talk not to me, for I'll not speak a word. Do as thou wilt, for I have done with thee.
Oh, God. Oh, nurse, how shall this be prevented? My husband is on earth, my faith in heaven. How shall that faith return again to earth, unless that husband send it me from heaven by leaving earth? Comfort me, counsel me. Alack, alack that heaven should practice stratagems upon so soft a subject as myself. What sayest thou? Hast thou not a word of joy? Some comfort, nurse.
Faith, here it is. Romeo is banished, and all the world to nothing that he dares ne'er come back to challenge you. Or, if he do, it needs must be by stealth. Then, since the case so stands as now it doth, I think it best you married with the county. Oh, he's a lovely gentleman. Romeo's a dishclout to him, an eagle, madam. Hath not so green, so quick, so fair an eye as Paris hath. Beshrew my very heart, I think you are happy in this second match, for it excels your first. Or if it did not, your first is dead, or 'twere as good he were as living here, and you no use of him.
Speak'st thou from thy heart?
And from my soul, too, else beshrew them both.
Amen.
What?
Well, thou hast comforted me marvelous much. Go in and tell my lady I am gone, having displeased my father to Lawrence Cell to make confession and to be absolved.
Marry, I will. And this is wisely done.
Ancient damnation, oh, most wicked fiend. Is it more sin to wish me thus forsworn, or to dispraise my lord with that same tongue which she hath praised him with above compare so many thousand times? Go, counselor. Thou and my bosom henceforth shall be twain. I'll to the friar to know his remedy. If all else fail, myself hath power to die.
On Thursday, sir? The time is very short.
My father Capulet will have it so, and I am nothing slow to slack his haste.
You say you do not know the lady's mind? Uneven is the course. I like it not.
Immoderately she weeps for Tybalt's death, and therefore have I little talk of love, for Venus smiles not in a house of tears. Now, sir, her father counts it dangerous that she do give her sorrow so much sway, and in his wisdom hastes our marriage to stop the inundation of her tears, which, too much minded by herself alone, may be put from her by society. Now do you know the reason of this haste?
I would I knew not why it should be slowed. Look, sir, here comes the lady toward my cell.
Happily met, my lady and my wife.
That may be, sir, when I may be a wife.
That may be, must be, love, on Thursday next.
What must be, shall be.
That's a certain text.
Come you to make confession to this father?
To answer that, I should confess to you.
Do not deny to him that you love me.
I will confess to you that I love him.
So will you, I am sure, that you love me.
If I do so, it will be of more price being spoke behind your back than to your face.
Poor soul, thy face is much abused with tears.
The tears have got small victory by that, for it was bad enough before their spite.
Thou wrongst it more than tears with that report.
That is no slander, sir, which is a truth. And what I spake it to my face.
Thy face is mine, and thou hast slandered it.
It may be so, for it is not mine own. Are you at leisure, Holy Father, now, or shall I come to you at evening mass?
My leisure serves me, pensive daughter, now. My lord, we must entreat the time alone.
God shield I should disturb devotion. Juliet, on Thursday early will I rouse you. Till then, adieu, and keep this holy kiss.
Oh, shut the door, and when thou hast done so, come weep with me, past hope, past care, past help.
Oh, Juliet, I already know thy grief. It strains me past the compass of my wit. I hear thou must, and nothing may prorogue it, on Thursday next be married to this county.
Tell me not, friar, that thou hearest of this, unless thou tell me how I may prevent it. If in thy wisdom thou canst give no help, do thou but call my resolution wise, and with this knife I'll help it presently.
Oh.
God join my heart and Romeo's, thou our hands, and ere this hand by thee to Romeo sealed shall be the label to another deed, or my true heart with treacherous revolt turn to another, this shall slay them both. Therefore, out of thy long experienced time, give me some present counsel, or behold, twixt my extremes and me, this bloody knife shall play the umpire, arbitrating that which the commission of thy years and art could to no issue of true honor bring. Be not so long to speak. I long to die. If what thou speak'st, speak not of remedy.
Hold, daughter. I do spy a kind of hope, which craves as desperate an execution as that is desperate which we would prevent. If, rather than to marry County Paris, thou hast the strength of will to slay thyself, then is it likely thou wilt undertake a thing like death to chide away this shame, that copest with death himself to scape from it. And if thou darest, I'll give thee remedy.
Oh, bid me leap rather than marry Paris from off the battlements of any tower, or walk in thievish ways, or bid me lurk where serpents are. Chain me with roaring bears, or hide me nightly in a charnel house, or covered quite with dead men's rattling bones, with reeky shanks and yellow chapless skulls, or bid me go into a new-made grave, and hide me with a dead man in his shroud. Things that to hear them told have made me tremble, and I will do it without fear or doubt, to live an unstained wife to my sweet love.
Hold, then. Go home. Be merry, give consent to marry Paris. Wednesday is tomorrow. Tomorrow night, look that thou lie alone. Let not the nurse lie with thee in thy chamber. Take thou this vial. Being then in bed, and this distilling liquor drink thou off, when presently through all thy veins shall run a cold and drowsy humor. For no pulse shall keep his native progress, but surcease. No warmth, no breath shall testify thou livest. The roses in thy lips and cheeks shall fade to paly ashes. Thy eyes' windows fall like death when he shuts up the day of life. Each part, deprived of supple government, shall, stiff and stark and cold, appear like death. And in this borrowed likeness of shrunk death thou shalt continue 42 hours, and then awake as from a pleasant sleep. Now, when the bridegroom in the morning comes to rouse thee from thy bed, there art thou dead. Then, as the manner of our country is, in thy best robes, uncovered on the bier, thou shalt be borne to that same ancient vault where all the kindred of the Capulets lie. In the meantime, against thou shalt awake, shall Romeo by my letters know our drift. And hither shall he come, and he and I will watch thy waking. And that very night shall Romeo bear thee hence to Mantua. And this shall free thee from this present shame, if no inconstant toy nor womanish fear abate thy valor in the acting it.
Give me, oh, tell not me of fear.
Hold, get you gone. Be strong and prosperous in this resolve. I'll send a friar with speed to Mantua with my letters to thy lord.
Love, give me strength, and strength shall help afford. Farewell, dear father.
So many guests invite as here are writ. Sirrah, go hire me 20 cunning cooks.
You shall have none ill, sir, for I'll try if they can lick their fingers.
How canst thou try them so?
Marry, sir, 'tis an ill cook that cannot lick his own fingers. Therefore he that cannot lick his fingers goes not with me.
Go. Be gone. We shall be much unfurnished for this time. What, is my daughter gone to Friar Lawrence?
Aye, forsooth.
Well, he may chance to do some good on her. A peevish, self-willed harlotry it is.
See where she comes from shrift with merry look.
How now, my headstrong? Where have you been gadding?
Where I have learned me to repent the sin of disobedient opposition to you and your behests, and am enjoined by Holy Lawrence to fall prostrate here, to beg your pardon. Pardon, I beseech you, henceforward I am ever ruled by you.
Send for the county. Go tell him of this. I'll have this knot knit up tomorrow morning.
I met the youthful lord at Lawrence cell, and gave him what becomed love I might, not stepping o'er the bounds of modesty.
Why, I am glad, aunt. This is well. Stand up. This is as should be. Let me see the county. Aye, Mary, go, I say, and fetch him hither. Now, afore God, this reverend holy friar, all our whole city is much bound to him.
Nurse, will you go with me into my closet to help me sort such needful ornaments as you think fit to furnish me tomorrow?
No, not till Thursday. There is time enough.
Go, nurse. Go with her. We'll to church tomorrow.
We shall be short in our provision. 'Tis now near night.
Tush! I will stir about, and all things shall be well, I warrant thee, wife. Go thou to Juliet. Help to deck up her. I'll not to bed tonight. Let me alone. I'll play the housewife for this once. What ho! They are all forth. Well, I will walk myself to County Paris to prepare up him against tomorrow. My heart is wondrous light since this same wayward girl is so reclaimed.
Aye, those attires are best. But, gentle nurse, I pray thee leave me to myself tonight, for I have need of many orisons to move the heavens to smile upon my state, which, well thou knowest, is cross and full of sin.
What, are you busy, ho? Need you my help?
No, madam, we have called such necessaries as are behooveful for our state tomorrow. So please you, let me now be left alone, and let the nurse this night sit up with you, for I am sure you have your hands full all in this so sudden business.
Good night. Get thee to bed and rest, for thou hast need.
Farewell. God knows when we shall meet again. I have a faint, cold fear thrills through my veins that almost freezes up the heat of life. I'll call them back again to comfort me. Nurse! What should she do here? My dismal scene, I needs must act alone. Come, vial. What if this mixture do not work at all? Shall I be married then tomorrow morning? No, no, this shall forbid it. Lie thou there. What if it be a poison which the friar subtly hath ministered to have me dead, lest in this marriage he should be dishonored because he married me before to Romeo? I fear it is. And yet methinks it should not, for he hath still been tried a holy man. How if, when I am laid into the tomb, I wake before the time that Romeo come to redeem me? There's a fearful point. Shall I not then be stifled in the vault, to whose foul mouth no healthsome air breathes in, and there die strangled ere my Romeo comes? Or, if I live, is it not very like the horrible conceit of death and night, together with the terror of the place, as in a vault an ancient receptacle where for this many hundred years the bones of all my buried ancestors are packed, where bloody Tybalt, yet but green in earth, lies festering in his shroud? Whereas they say at some hours in the night spirits resort, alack, alack, is it not like that I, so early waking, what with loathsome smells and shrieks like mandrakes torn out of the earth, that living mortals hearing them run mad? Oh, if I wake, shall
shall I not be distraught? Environed with all these hideous fears, and madly play with my forefather's joints, and pluck the mangled Tybalt from his shroud, and in this rage, as with some great kinsman's bone, as with a club, dash out my desperate brains! Oh! Oh, look! Methinks I see my cousin's ghost, seeking out Romeo that did spit his body upon a rapier's point! Stay! Tybalt, stay! Romeo! 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 Here's drink! I drink to thee.
Hold, take these keys and fetch more spices, nurse.
They call for dates and quinces in the pastry.
Come, stir, stir, stir. The second cock hath crowed. The curfew bell hath rung. 'Tis 3 o'clock. Look to the baked meats, good Angelica. Spare not for cost.
Go, you cot queen, go. Get you to bed. Faith, you'll be sick tomorrow for this night's watching.
No, not a whit. What, I have watched ere now all night for lesser cause and ne'er been sick.
You have been a mouse hunt in your time, but I will watch you from such watching now.
Ah, jealous hood, ah, jealous hood. Now, fellow, what is there?
Things for the cook, sir, but I know not what.
Make haste! Make haste! Sarah, fetch drier logs. Call Peter. He will show thee where they are.
I have a head, sir, that will find out logs and never trouble Peter for the matter.
Mass, and well said. A merry horse, and ha! Thou shalt be loggerhead. Good faith, 'tis day. The county will be here with music straight. For so he said he would. I hear him near. Nurse! Wife! What ho! What nurse, I say! Go waken Juliet. Go and trim her up. I'll go and chat with Paris. Hi, make haste! Make haste! The bridegroom, he has come already. Make haste, I say!
Mistress? What? Mistress? Juliet? Oh, fast I warrant her. She... Why, lamb? Why, lady? Fie, you slug-a-bed! Why, love, I say. Madam! Sweetheart? Why, bride? What, not a word? You take your pennyworths now, sleep for a week. For the next night, I warrant, the county Paris hath set up his rest, that you shall rest but little. Oh, God forgive me, Marian, amen. How sound is she asleep? I needs must wake her. Madam, madam, madam! Aye, let the county take you in your bed. He'll fright you up, a'faith, will it not be? What? Dressed? And in your clothes? And down again? I must needs wake you, lady. Lady? Lady? Alas. Alas. Help! Help! My lady's dead! Oh, were a day that ever I was born, some aqua vitae, ho! My lord, my lady!
What noise is here?
Oh, lamentable day!
What is the matter?
Look, look! Oh, heavy day!
Oh, me! Oh, me, my child! My only life revive! Look up, or I will die with thee! Help! Help! Call help!
For shame! Bring Juliet forth. Her lord is come.
She's dead. Deceased. She's dead. Alack the day.
Alack the day. She's dead. She's dead. She's dead.
Ah, let me see her. Out. Alas, she's cold. Her blood is settled and her joints are stiff. Life and these lips have long been separated. Death lies on her like an untimely frost upon the sweetest flower of all the fields.
Oh, lamentable day.
Oh, woeful time.
Death, that hath ta'en her hence to make me wail, ties up my tongue and will not let me speak.
Come, is the bride ready to go to church?
Ready to go, but never to return. Oh, son, the night before thy wedding day hath death lain with thy wife. There she lies, flower as she was, deflowered by him. Death is my son-in-law, death is my heir. My daughter he hath wedded. I will die and leave him all. Life, living all, is death's.
Have I thought long to see this morning's face? And doth it give me such a sight as this?
Accursed, unhappy, wretched, hateful day! Most miserable hour that e'er time saw in lasting labor of his pilgrimage! But one poor and loving child, but one thing to rejoice and solace in, and cruel death hath catched it from my sight.
A woeful day, most lamentable day, most woeful day that ever I did yet behold. O day, O hateful day, never was seen so black a day as this. O woeful day.
Beguiled, divorced, wronged, spited, slain. Most detestable death, by thee beguiled. By cruel thee quite overthrown. O life, not life, but love in death.
Despised, distressed, hated, martyred, killed. Uncomfortable time, why cam'st thou now to murder our solemnity? O child, my soul and not my child, dead art thou? Alack, my child is dead, and with my child my joys are buried.
Peace, ho, for shame! Confusion's cure lives not in these confusions. Heaven and yourself had part in this fair maid. Now heaven hath all, and all the better is it for the maid. Your part in her you could not keep from death, but heaven keeps his part in eternal life. The most you sought was her promotion, for 'twas your heaven she should be advanced. And weep you now, seeing she is advanced above the clouds, as high as heaven itself? Oh, in this love you love your child so ill that you run mad, seeing that she is well. She's not well married that lives married long, but she's best married that dies married young. Dry up your tears, and stick your rosemary on this fair corse, and, as the custom is, and in her best array, bear her to church. For though fond nature bids us all lament, yet nature's tears are reason's merriment.
All things that we ordained festival turn from their office to black funeral, our instruments to melancholy bells, our wedding cheer to a sad burial feast, our solemn hymns to sullen dirges change, our bridal flowers serve for a buried corse, and all things change them to the contrary.
Sir, go you in, and madam, go with him. And go, Sir Paris. Everyone prepare to follow this fair course unto her grave. The heavens do lower upon you for some ill. Move them no more by crossing their high will.
Faith, we may put up our pipes and be gone.
Honest good fellows, put up, for well you know this is a pitiful case.
Aye, by my troth, the case may be amended.
Musicians, heart's ease. Heart's ease. Oh, and you will have me live, play heart's ease.
Why heart's ease?
Oh, musicians, because my heart itself plays, my heart is full. Oh, play me some merry dump to comfort me.
Not a dump, wee. 'Tis no time to play now.
You will not, then?
No.
I will then give it you soundly.
What will you give us?
No money on my face, but the gleek I will give you, the minstrel.
Then will I give you the serving creature.
Then will I lay the serving creature's dagger on your pate. I will carry no crotchets. I'll ray you. I'll far you. Do you note me?
And you ray us and far us. You note us.
Pray you, put up your dagger and put out your wit. Then have at you with my wit. I will dry beat you with an iron wit and put up my iron dagger. Answer me like men. When griping griefs the heart doth wound, and doleful dumps the mind oppress, then music with her silver sound. Oh, why silver sound? Why music with her silver sound? What say you, Simon Catling?
Marry, sir, because silver hath a sweet sound.
Great! What say you, Hugh Rebeck?
I say silver sound because musicians sound for silver.
Great, too! What say you, James Soundpost?
Faith, I know not what to say.
Oh, I cry you mercy. You are the singer. I will say for you, it is music with her silver sound because musicians have no gold for sounding. Then music with her silver sound with speedy help doth lend redress.
What a pestilent knave is this, say?
Hang him, Jack. Come, we'll in here tarry for the mourners and stay dinner.
If I may trust the flattering truth of sleep, my dreams presage some joyful news at hand. My bosom's lord sits lightly in his throne, and all this day an unaccustomed spirit lifts me above the ground with cheerful thoughts. I dreamt my lady came and found me dead. A strange dream that gives a dead man leave to think, and breathed such life with kisses in my lips that I revived and was an emperor. Ah, me! How sweet is love itself possessed when but love's shadows are so rich in joy. News from Verona! How now, Balthazar? Dost thou not bring me letters from the friar? How doth my lady? Is my father well? How doth my Juliet? That I ask again, for nothing can be ill if she be well.
Then she is well, and nothing can be ill. Her body sleeps in Capel's monument, and her immortal part with angels lives. I saw her laid low in her kindred's vault, and presently took post to tell it you. Oh, pardon me for bringing these ill news, since you did leave it for my office, sir. Is it e'en so? Then I deny you, stars. Thou know'st my lodging. Get me ink and paper and hire post-horses. I will hence tonight. I do beseech you, sir, have patience. Your looks are pale and wild and do import some misadventure. Tush, thou art deceived. Leave me and do the thing I bid thee do. Hast thou no letters to me from the friar?
No,
my good lord. No matter. Get thee gone, and hire those horses. I'll be with thee straight. Well, Juliet, I will lie with thee tonight. Let's see for means. Oh, mischief! Thou art swift to enter in the thoughts of desperate men. I do remember an apothecary, and hereabouts he dwells, which late I noted in tattered weeds with overwhelming brows, culling of simples. Meager were his looks. Sharp misery had worn him to the bones, and in his needy shop a tortoise hung, an alligator stuffed, and other skins of ill-shaped fishes, and about his shelves a beggarly account of empty boxes, green earthen pots, bladders, and musty seeds. Remnants of packthread and old cakes of roses were thinly scattered to make up a show. Noting this penury to myself, I said, and if a man did need a poison now, whose sale is present death in Mantua, here lives a caitiff wretch would sell it him. Oh, this same thought did but forerun my need. And this same needy man must sell it me. As I remember, this should be the house. Being holiday, the beggar shop is shut. What ho, apothecary!
Who calls so loud?
Come hither, man. I see that thou art poor. Hold. There is 40 ducats. Let me have a dram of poison, such soon speeding gear as will disperse itself through all the veins, that the life-weary taker may fall dead, and that the trunk may be discharged of breath as violently as hasty powder fired doth hurry from the fatal cannon's womb.
Such mortal drugs I have, but Mantua's law is death to any he that utters them.
Art thou so bare and full of wretchedness and fears to die? Famine is in thy cheeks. Need and oppression starveth in thy eyes. Contempt and beggary hangs upon thy back. The world is not thy friend, nor the world's law. The world affords no law to make thee rich. Then be not poor, but break it, and take this.
My poverty, but not my will, consents.
I pay thy poverty, and not thy will.
Put this in any liquid thing you will, and drink it off. And if you had the strength of 20 men, it would dispatch you straight.
There is thy gold. Worse poison to men's souls. Doing more murder in this loathsome world than these poor compounds that thou mayst not sell. I sell thee poison. Thou hast sold me none. Farewell. Buy food and get thyself in flesh. Come, cordial and not poison. Go with me to Juliet's grave. For there must I use thee.
Holy Franciscan friar, brother, ho! Oh.
This same should be the voice of Friar John. Welcome from Mantua. What says Romeo, or if his mind be writ, give me his letter?
Going to find a barefoot brother out, one of our order, to associate me, here in this city visiting the sick, and finding him, the searchers of the town suspecting that we both were in a house where the infectious pestilence did reign, sealed up the doors and would not let us forth, so that my speed to Mantua there was stayed.
Who bear my letter, then, to Romeo?
I could not send it. Here it is again. Nor get a messenger to bring it thee, so fearful were they of infection.
Unhappy fortune. By my brotherhood, the letter was not nice, but full of charge, of dear import, and the neglecting it may do much danger. Friar John, go hence. Get me an iron crow and bring it straight unto my cell.
Brother, I'll go and bring it thee.
Now must I to the monument alone. Within this 3 hours will fair Juliet wake. She will beshrew me much that Romeo hath had no notice of these accidents. But I will write again to Mantua, and keep her at my cell till Romeo come. Poor living corse, closed in a dead man's tomb.
Give me thy torch, boy. Hence, and stand aloof. Yet put it out, for I would not be seen. Under yond yew trees lay thee all along, holding thy ear close to the hollow ground. So shall no foot upon the churchyard tread, being loose, unfirm, with digging up of graves. But thou shalt hear it. Whistle then to me as signal that thou hearest something approach. Give me those flowers. Do as I bid thee. Go.
I am almost afraid to stand alone here in the churchyard. Yet I will adventure.
Sweet flower, with flowers thy bridal bed I strew. Oh, woe, thy canopy is dust and stones, which with sweet water nightly I will dew, or, wanting that, with tears distilled by moans. The obsequies that I for thee will keep, nightly shall be to strew thy grave and weep. The boy gives warning, something doth approach. What cursed foot wanders this way tonight, to cross my obsequies and true love's rite? What, with a torch? Muffle me night awhile.
Give me that mattock and the wrenching iron. Hold, take this letter. Early in the morning, see thou deliver it to my lord and father. Give me the light. Upon thy life, I charge thee, whate'er thou hearest or seest, stand all aloof and do not interrupt me in my course. Why I descend into this bed of death is partly to behold my lady's face, but chiefly to take thence from her dead finger a precious ring, a ring that I must use in dear employment. Therefore, hence, be gone. But if thou jealous dost return to pry in what I farther shall intend to do, by heaven I will tear thee joint by joint and strew this hungry churchyard with thy limbs. The time and my intents are savage wild, more fierce and more inexorable far than empty tigers or the roaring sea. I will be gone, sir, and not trouble you. So shalt thou show me friendship. Take thou that. Live and be prosperous. And farewell, good fellow. For all the same, I'll hide me hereabout. His looks I fear, and his intents I doubt. Thou detestable maw, thou womb of death, gorged with the dearest morsel of the earth. Thus I enforce thy rotten jaws to open, and in despite I'll cram thee with more food.
This is that banished, haughty Montague that murdered my love's cousin, with which grief it is supposed the fair creature died, and here has come to do some villainous shame to the dead bodies. I will apprehend him. Stop thy unhallowed toil, vile Montague. Can vengeance be pursued further than death? Condemned villain, I do apprehend thee. Obey and go with me, for thou must die.
I must indeed, and therefore came I hither. Good, gentle youth, tempt not a desperate man. Fly hence and leave me. Think upon these gone. Let them affright thee. I beseech thee, youth, put not another sin upon my head by urging me to fury. Oh, be gone! By heaven, I love thee better than myself, for I come hither armed against myself. Stay not. Be gone. Live, and hereafter say a madman's mercy bid thee run away.
I do defy thy commination and apprehend thee for a felon here.
Wilt thou provoke me? Then have at thee, boy.
Oh, Lord, they fight. I will go call the watch.
Oh, I am slain. If thou be merciful, open the tomb. Lay me with Juliet.
In faith, I will. Let me peruse this face. Mercutio's kinsman. Noble County Paris. What said my man when my betossed soul did not attend him as we rode? I think he told me Paris should have married Juliet. Said he not so? Or did I dream it so? Or am I mad hearing him talk of Juliet to think it was so? Oh, give me thy hand. One writ with me in sour misfortune's book. I'll bury thee in a triumphant grave. A grave? Oh, no. A lantern slaughtered youth. For here lies Juliet. And her beauty makes this vault a feasting presence full of light. Death, lie thou there, by a dead man interred. How oft when men are at the point of death have they been merry, which their keepers call a lightning before death. Oh, how may I call this a lightning? Oh, my love, my wife, death that hath sucked the honey of thy breath hath had no power yet upon thy beauty. Thou art not conquered. Beauty's ensign yet is crimson in thy lips and in thy cheeks, and death's pale flag is not advanced there. Tybalt, liest thou there in thy bloody sheet? Oh, what more favor can I do to thee than with that hand that cut thy youth in twain to sunder his that was thine enemy? Forgive me, cousin. Ah, dear Juliet, why art thou yet so fair? Shall I believe that unsubstantial death is amorous, and that the lean abhorred monster keeps thee here in dark to be his paramour? For fear of that, I still will stay with thee, and never from this palace of dim night depart again. Here will I remain, with worms that are thy chambermates. Oh, here will I set up my everlasting rest, and shake the yoke of inauspicious stars from this world-wearied flesh. Eyes, look your last. Arms, take your last embrace. And lips, oh, you, the doors of breath, seal with a righteous kiss a dateless bargain to engrossing death. Come, bitter conduct. Come, unsavory guide. Thou desperate pilot, now at once run on the dashing rocks thy seasick, weary bark. Here's to my love. Oh, true apothecary, thy drugs are quick. Thus with a kiss I die.
St. Francis, be my speed. How oft tonight have my old feet stumbled at graves. Who's there?
Here's one. A friend, and one that knows you well.
Bliss be upon you. Tell me, good my friend, what torch is yond that vainly lends his light to grubs and eyeless skulls, as I discern it burneth in the Capel's monument?
It doth so, holy sir. And there's my master, one that you love.
Who is it?
Romeo.
How long hath he been there?
Full half an hour.
Go with me to the vault.
I dare not, sir. My master knows not, but I am gone hence, and fearfully did menace me with death if I did stay to look on his intents.
Stay, then. I'll go alone. Fear comes upon me. Oh, much I fear some ill, unthrifty thing.
As I did sleep under this yew tree here, I dreamt my master and another fought, and that my master slew him.
Romeo!
Alack!
Alack, what blood is this which stains the stony entrance of this sepulchre? What mean these masterless and gory swords to lie discolored by this place of peace? Romeo! Oh, pale. Who else? What, Paris too? And steeped in blood? Oh, what an unkind hour is guilty of this lamentable chance. The lady stirs.
Oh, comfortable friar. Where is my lord? I do remember well where I should be, and there I am. Where is my Romeo?
I hear some noise. Lady, come from that nest of death, contagion, and unnatural sleep. A greater power than we can contradict hath thwarted our intents. Come, come away. Thy husband in thy bosom there lies dead. And Paris, too. Come, I'll dispose of thee among a sisterhood of holy nuns. Stay not to question, for the watch is coming. Come. Go, good Juliet. I dare no longer stay.
Go, get thee hence, for I will not away. What's here? A cup closed in my true love's hand. Poison, I see, hath been his timeless end. Oh, churl, drunk all and left no friendly drop to help me after. I will kiss thy lips. Haply some poison yet doth hang on them to make me die with a restorative. Thy lips are warm.
Lead, boy, which way?
Yea, noise.
Then I'll be brief. Oh, happy dagger. This is thy sheath. There, rust. And let me die.
This is the place. There where the torch doth burn.
The ground is bloody. Search about the churchyard. Go, some of you, whoe'er you find to thatch. Pitiful sight. Here lies the county slain, and Juliet bleeding. Warm, and newly dead, who here hath lain this 2 days buried. Go, tell the prince. Run to the Capulet. Raise up the Montagues. Some other search. We see the ground whereon these woes do lie, but the true ground of all these piteous woes we cannot without circumstance descry.
Here's Romeo's man. We found him in the churchyard.
Hold him in safety till the prince come hither.
Here is a friar that trembles, sighs, and weeps. We took this mattock and this spade from him as he was coming from this churchyard side.
A great suspicion. Stay the friar, too.
What misadventure is so early up that calls our person from our morning rest?
What should it be that is so shrieked abroad?
Oh, the people in the street cry Romeo, some Juliet, and some Paris, and all run with open outcry toward our monument.
What fear is this which startles in our ears?
Sovereign, here lies the county Paris slain, and Romeo dead, and Juliet dead before warm, and you killed.
Search, seek, and know how this foul murder comes.
Here is a friar, and slaughtered Romeo's man, with instruments upon them fit to open these dead men's tombs.
Oh, heavens. Oh, wife, look how our daughter bleeds. This dagger hath mista'en, for lo, his house is empty on the back of Montague, and it missheathed in my daughter's bosom.
Oh, me. This sight of death is as a bell that warns my old age to a sepulchre.
Come, Montague, for thou art early up to see thy son and heir now early down.
Alas, my liege, my wife is dead tonight. Grief of my son's exile hath stopped her breath. What further woe conspires against mine age?
Look, and thou shalt see.
Oh, thou untaught! What manners is in this to press before thy father to a grave?
Seal up the mouth of outrage for a while, till we can clear these ambiguities and know their spring, their head, their true descent. And then will I be general of your woes and lead you even to death. Meantime, forbear, and let mischance be slave to patience. Bring forth the parties of suspicion.
I am the greatest, able to do least, yet most suspected, as the time and place doth make against me of this direful murder. And here I stand, both to impeach and purge, myself condemned and myself excused.
Then say at once what thou dost know in this.
I will be brief, for my short date of breath is not so long as is a tedious tale. Romeo, there dead, was husband to that Juliet. And she, there dead, that Romeo's faithful wife. I married them, and their stolen marriage day was Tybalt's doomsday, whose untimely death banished the new-made bridegroom from this city, for whom, and not for Tybalt, Juliet pined. You, to remove that siege of grief from her, betrothed and would have married her perforce to County Paris. Then comes she to me, and with wild looks bid me devise some mean to rid her from this second marriage, or in myself there would she kill herself. Then gave I her, so tutored by my art, a sleeping potion which so took effect as I intended, for it wrought on her the form of death. Meantime I writ to Romeo that he should hither come as this dire night to help to take her from her borrowed grave, being the time the potion's force should cease. But he which bore my letter, Friar John, was stayed by accident, and yesternight returned my letter back. Then all alone at the prefixed hour of her waking came I to take her from her kindred's vault, meaning to keep her closely at my cell till I conveniently could send to Romeo. But when I came, some minute ere the time of her awakening, here untimely lay the noble Paris, and true Romeo dead. She wakes, and I entreated her, come forth and bear this work of heaven with patience. But then a noise did scare me from the tomb, and she, too desperate, would not go with me, but, as it seems, did violence on herself. All this I know, and to the marriage her nurse is privy. And if aught in this miscarried by my fault, let my old life be sacrificed some hour before his time, unto the rigor of severest law.
We still have known thee for a holy man. Where's Romeo's man? What can he say to this?
I brought my master news of Juliet's death, and then in post he came from Mantua to this same place, to this same monument. This letter he early bid me give his father, and threatened me with death going in the vault if I departed not and left him there.
Give me the letter. I will look on it. Where is the county's page that raised the watch? Sirrah, what made your master in this place?
He came with flowers to strew his lady's grave, and bid me stand aloof, and so I did. Anon comes one with light to ope the tomb, and by my master drew on him. And then I ran away to call the watch.
This letter doth make good the friar's words, their course of love, the tidings of her death. And here he writes that he did buy a poison of a poor apothecary, and therewithal came to this vault to die and lie with Juliet. Where be these enemies? Capulet, Montague, see what a scourge is laid upon your hate, that heaven finds means to kill your joys with love. And I, for winking at your discords too, have lost a brace of kinsmen. All are punished.
Oh, brother Montague, give me thy hand. This is my daughter's jointure, for no more can I demand.
But I can give thee more, for I will ray her statue in pure gold, that whiles Verona by that name is known, there shall no figure at such rate be set as that of true and faithful Juliet.
As rich shall Romeo's by his lady's lie, poor sacrifices of our enmity.
A glooming peace this morning with it brings. The sun, for sorrow, will not show his head. Go hence, to have more talk of these sad things. Some shall be pardoned, and some punished. For never was a story of more woe than this of Juliet and her Romeo.
In Romeo and Juliet by William Shakespeare, Romeo was played by Michael Goldsmith and Juliet by Emily Trask. Friar Lawrence was Eric Hissam. The nurse was Naomi Jacobson. Ian Merrill Peaks was Lord Capulet, and Tom Story was Mercutio. Andrew Schwartz played Benvolio. Karen Peaks, Lady Capulet. Chris Genabaugh, Tybalt. Michael Brusasco, Paris. And Louis Butelli, the Prince. Other parts were played by members of the cast. The original music was composed by Jessica Wichker. Romeo and Juliet was directed by Robert Richmond.
This has been a presentation of Simon & Schuster Audio.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.